Welcome to episode 6 of the Deep Pockets Finance Podcast. Welcome to the Deep Pockets Finance Podcast with your host, Samantha, a qualified accountant and finance enthusiast. Deep Pockets normally refers to the wealthy. The wealthy are good at managing their money. Join DPF as we turn money management into a lifestyle through eliminating debt and building wealth so you too can have deep pockets. Welcome to episode 6 of the Deep Pockets Finance Podcast. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about insurances, and I'm being joined by Amida Jema. She's a financial advisor who's regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. In the podcast, we'll be looking at different insurance packages, their purposes, what they are, how they benefit you, and things you need to look out for when you're speaking to an insurance broker. I do hope this helps start the conversation, or it leads you to start to look into things, because it's definitely important to plan for the future. So I hope this information helps. Amida's information will be shared in the show notes. Thank you. Thank you so much for agreeing to come to the DPF podcast.
Honestly, it's no worries. Thank you so much for having me. Excellent. I'm glad to be here.
Excellent. Would you like to briefly introduce yourself and tell us the reason, what pushed you to get into the insurance industry?
Sure. So I'll just start from the top. Hi everyone. My name's Amida Jema. I'm a financial advisor and I specialize in insurance specifically. And how my role works is I act essentially as a mediator. Now, what that means is I work with the insurance providers and I work with clients. And essentially, I bridge the gap between the two to help break down the types of insurances that are available. And I basically work to help the clients get re-educated and get the understanding of what's available to them.
When you initially started working in insurance, what was that aha moment? When did you realize that this is what you actually wanted to do?
Yes, sure. Okay. And I probably should have said this a minute ago. So basically, without being too morbid, but just under 11 years ago now, I lost my dad suddenly. He had a heart attack. And what was so shocking about that day and about that time is how it happened. He literally woke up, you know, just as we all do, brushed his teeth, and that was it. Wow. Prior to that, it's not like he was in the hospital. It's not like he had any health issues and he was going back and forth in and out of with the doctors or anything. He literally just was gone in the blink of an eye. And that was a huge shock for me and my family, because we hadn't really been exposed to that death side of life. So when my dad went, it was a huge, huge blow.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
That's okay. Thank you so much. And the shocking thing about that is that not only did he leave my mom a widow with 4 kids, he actually had life insurance and he'd cancelled it 2 months before he died. So that was like, oh my God. So where we would have got a lump sum amount of money, about, let's say, just under 100K, we didn't get anything. And that's the thing with insurance, is that you never know when you're gonna go. And death isn't a respecter of anyone. It can happen to anyone at any time. So I guess that was kind of like my awakening to the importance of insurance. And then a few years later, a friend of mine who is in the business as well, she was going through training. So I simply sent her a message and I was like, what's this? How can I get involved? And then she basically did my consultation, broke things down, and then I went ahead with the training, and here I am.
So that's a very powerful story, and it's something that I feel like a lot of people can resonate with, because I myself have I lost a parent when I was young, and I do feel that if that had been in place, then we would have been in a better place. I'll give credit to my mom, because my mom worked really hard to bring us to where we are, but that would have been a help if that had been in place. And that's one of the reasons why I was so keen to have you on the podcast today.
Amazing.
Because with insurance, I think it's human nature to not want to think about the future, especially if the future evokes like emotions that bring pain. But it's extremely important to plan about that. And The other thing that says that I'm from Africa, I'm originally from Zimbabwe, which is in Africa, and yes. I've come across people who have passed away and they've needed to be repatriated to back home, and that costs a lot of money. What would you say with regards to the products that are available, like with insurance, in terms of that, and in terms of like having money left over to pay for debts? For debts that people would have had.
Amazing question. I love that you just came in straight away with that. Fantastic. So basically, what they can do, because I know that this is quite popular, because I'm West African as well. I'm originally from Ghana and Nigeria. So repatriation is a huge thing in our communities. So what they can do is there's a product called Whole of Life. And what that is basically a lump sum amount of money that your next of kin would receive in the event of your death. And then what we would do is we would set up that policy for them and we will put it in a trust. Now, I'll explain what a trust is a little bit later. Okay. But once that is done, that will basically guarantee that they will have enough money to get them sent back home so that they can be buried there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what I would recommend to people or parents who are interested in repatriation.
Yeah, because it's definitely something we have to consider, because I have come across situations where that's happened and then someone's gone online to try and raise money for someone to be repatriated. So that's something that's very important to look into and to actually have a plan in place.
Yeah, fantastic. And to be honest, we really need to stop with the GoFundMes.
Yeah.
Get protected, people.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to break down the different types of insurances that we recommend, what they do and how it can support people, if that's okay.
Yeah, sure.
So we've mentioned one already, that's Whole of Life, fantastic. And the other type of insurance that we recommend is called life insurance. That's the most common one, which everyone has heard of, right?
Yes.
But the thing is, a lot of people don't actually know what life insurance actually does. So what life insurance does is it provides a lump sum amount of money to your next of kin, all your beneficiaries, whoever is in your life at the time of death, and they would get a lump sum amount of money. And this lump sum amount of money will basically help to pay down any debts or liabilities. Now, what's a debt? What's a liability? So a liability could be your mortgage. It could be any car finance, credit card loans, any personal debts, catalogue debts, any kind of debts that you might have. Yeah, so that amount of money would cover it so that it alleviates the stress and the pressure with struggling that might come if you're no longer around.
So that's, and, that's actually quite an interesting point, because you're saying that that covers debt, because I suppose like a lot of people tend to think that when they pass away, then their debts are automatically written off, but they need to be paid.
Yes, you die, your debts don't.
Yeah.
That's essentially it. And it's, again, it's a lot of misunderstanding that goes around the topic of insurance, and people really, really need to re-educate themselves and get financially clued up as to what's available.
Yeah.
So that's one of the key reasons of speaking with an advisor, because they will be able to be best placed to inform you about these things. So with a standard life insurance, you're usually covered for a certain amount of time. So that could be 30-year term, 40 years, 45 years, depending on which provider we recommend. Because different providers do different things.
I see, yes. Yeah.
And with a whole life, it works as if a death do you part situation. So it literally lasts until the day you're no longer around. So if that's at 112, you would definitely get a guarantee. It's a guaranteed payout that you would get. Well, your beneficiaries would get, not necessarily you, because you won't be here. So yes, and that money is what goes towards your funeral, so that hence the repatriation, and it also goes towards leaving a legacy to your family, so that again, they're not mourning in stress, they're mourning in peace, because again, that money has alleviated the pressures and the anxiety and the fear that might come along with losing a loved one.
Okay. Yeah. So I guess in this, with like the life insurance and the whole of life insurance, you're getting money for the funeral, which, because I was just thinking about it right now, that this then differentiates it from just, because there's some providers that provide you with like funeral policies, where they're just literally just covering like the funeral costs. But with this, what you're essentially saying is that depending on how much you take out, you're then left over with a little bit more to cover your debts, your liabilities, and there's some that may be left over to the family. It's not just limited to the funeral costs.
Yeah, exactly. So that's why different insurances or different types of policies serve different purposes.
Yeah.
So it's so interesting to have at least more than one, because people say, yep, have a life insurance, I'm good. And I'm like, but what about other parts of your life, which we're going to touch on in a minute?
I definitely see what you mean.
So the third type of insurance is called critical illness. So what critical illness covers is up to 60 to 80 of listed illnesses. Now, what is a listed illness? I'll give you an example: a heart attack, which is what my dad had, a stroke, cancer, type 1 diabetes, Alzheimer's, dementia, multiple sclerosis, blindness, loss of limbs. You know, the list goes on. And again, different providers recommend different things. And also one of the benefits for you as well, because you're a parent, is once you get covered with critical illnesses, you can also cover your children.
Okay. So is there like, with how do the ages work with the critical illness cover? So how old do the children need to be? Like, what's the limitations on that with regards to the age?
There's not a specific limitation, but if your child is over between 18 to 21, they might no longer need to be covered, because then they can obviously, they're old enough to get their own separate policy.
All right, yes.
So then there's no limitations per se, but it just depends on the child's age at the time of you taking out your cover. And also, I feel like this is an important place to say that the younger you are, the cheaper your premiums will be.
Okay.
So it's so important to get cover whilst you're young and healthy than when you're older and sick, because the likelihood of you getting better cover or full cover is less likely, because you're more at risk as you get older.
I see what you mean. So that that will tend to cost more because of the risk levels.
So which leads me on to my fourth type of insurance. Oh, sorry, I didn't explain what the critical illness was. I'm sorry. Let's go back.
That's all right.
With the critical illness, it's a tax-free lump sum that you would get to basically inject money into the household. And as a result of that, that will then give you options. And the options that it gives you is it basically allows you to, you know, either go on holiday because you just survived something so traumatic like a stroke, or even in my dad's case, when he had a heart attack, he could have just said, you know what, let's just refurbish the house. Some people, they have severe critical illnesses that, you know, they're no longer able to use their stairs anymore. So they'll have to get like a stairwell or a lift or something to help them go up the stairs. Or some people, go on, sorry.
So I was just going to say that, like you're about to say, some illnesses are life altering, as in your day-to-day life is actually going to change, and like you're saying, this gives you the options, which is very important. It's important to have options.
Exactly. And not only the options, it gives you the resources to be able to say what you can have and the type of care you can get, because if you don't have enough money, you're going to be stuck on the NHS, and the likelihood of that is you'll be placed on a long waiting list. But if you're getting an injection of money, you can then look at private care. You might need to hire a live-in carer to help look after you. So that also eases the financial strains that could take place in the household as well.
Which is very, very important,
Exactly. And even if you are a single person, critical illness is something that can affect you. If you're a gym goer, critical illness is a thing. Damage your you can fracture your bones, you can, I don't know, dislocate your shoulder, anything. So it's very, very important not to just think that these things are beneficial once you have kids.
That's
just so a misconception.
That's true. That's very true, because that in itself, like you're saying, it provides options, it's a resource. You're then able to alleviate the stress, so to speak, because you're not worried about where the next income is coming, but you've actually got money there that you can use to help your recovery. Yeah,
exactly. So now I can move on to the fourth type of insurance.
Mm.
I'm getting way ahead of myself there.
That's right.
So fourth type of insurance is called income protection.
Okay.
Now this kind of slides in nicely because it still kind of applies. So whereas a critical illness is a little bit more severe with like a heart attack or stroke or something like that, an income protection is a little bit different. So what it actually does is it entitles you to have 65% to 70% of your annual salary as a monthly income to help sustain you if you were signed off work by a doctor. So I'll give you an example to bring it home. Friend of mine, she's a social worker. She dislocated her knee. And because she is a social worker that is a locum worker, meaning she doesn't get any sick pay, she had to drag herself to work because at the time she didn't have the income protection to cover her. So she suffered and acted as though everything is okay, which is a norm in our communities. We love to suffer and struggle. I don't know why, but we just do it. And we always think we have to kill ourselves just to make money. That's not what life is about.
No.
So in her case, if she had had an income protection, she would have been able to rest her knee and get the healing that she requires, and also to have money coming in until she returns back to work, so she doesn't need to stress, she doesn't need to worry. An example of a reason why people take out income protection as well is for any reason as to why you're signed off work. So that could also be a mental health breakdown, anxiety, dislocation of the shoulder, twisting your ankle, breaking your leg, anything like that. So it helps you to get to stay out of debt until you get back to work, because as millennials we're not staying in jobs as long as our predecessors. Our parents stayed in jobs 10 20 30 years and it's commendable, but we're just not like that. We're creating our own room. We're creating our own opportunities. We're you know, we're having our own seats at the table. Do you know what I mean? We're not waiting for anyone. So the likelihood of us staying in jobs these days, what statistics say, what, 2 to 3 years? We're not staying in jobs anymore, because why should we? We're climbing up the corporate ladder, we're getting more money, and we're doing things for ourselves. So the likelihood of us having sick pay for an extended period of time is quite low. Because we're creating our own opportunities, you know, we're seeing the uptake of more people becoming self-employed, especially women, but that's a whole different podcast. You know, there's a whole new leadership. People are doing things for themselves. People are self-employed. They are contractors. They are locum workers. You know, all this to get more money. They're working smarter.
Exactly.
So if you're self-employed, if you're a contractor, you don't have any sick pay. So you need to get income protection because that is your sick pay. If you're a salaried employee, the likelihood is you'll either have death and service benefits, or you won't have anything to cover your sick pay, or you won't, you'll only get covered for about 4 weeks. Check your contracts, see what it says. It will tell you exactly what you've got. And if the worst case scenario is, you know, you dislocated your ankle, twisted your ankle, and you're off work for 3 months, and your employer gives you, what, 4 weeks sick pay, what's going to happen for the rest of the time if you don't have any savings?
That's true. So in terms of that, you mentioned that if you're self-employed, so does that include as well, like, people who are company directors, or like that bubble, like, I say bubble, with the people who can claim for income protection, is that anyone and everyone who can go in regardless of your employment status or how you get your money?
It is, does not matter.
Okay.
You need income protection. Obviously it will differ. There's differences in terms of when your payout will start. Okay. Because I know sometimes if you work for the NHS you have really good benefits. So say for example, some people get 3 months sick pay.
Okay.
Some people get 6 months sick pay.
Yeah.
So you can get your income protection to kick in after that.
Right, I see what you
yeah?
mean.
Yeah, so we could tailor it to match your circumstances.
Okay? That's interesting to know. Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, I think that's a very important point. And like mm-hmm. the point that you've raised about millennials not staying for as long with employees, because some companies do give benefits. And like you're saying, because people are not staying that long, some companies have rules in place where those benefits don't kick in until after your probation. Exactly. And probably after your probation, you're planning to leave.
You're there, exactly. Yeah. Like how often, I know this is a bit personal, but how often do you stay in jobs personally on average?
Well, personally, I've been with the company that I work for quite a long time, but I can speak for my husband and say like he's moved quite frequently. So yeah, I do understand. I don't understand what you mean. So it's just good to have something that's there, that's a constant, and you know that you're covered if anything were to happen.
Exactly. Mm. And even as a parent as well, you know, how would you survive, you and your husband, if both of you were out of work due to family issues?
Mm.
You know, how would you both sustain yourselves?
Yeah. Because another thing to consider, because I suppose someone might come in and say, oh, but I've got investments that I've got, and I've got this and that could come in. I think it's kind of different. Like this is like a contingency plan. This is to say, if something unexpected happens, then there's money coming in. Yes, you may have investments that you can liquidate, but then you'd have to look at how long it takes for them to be liquidated and what that impact is going to have on your future finances.
Exactly.
So it's kind of important to actually keep an eye on this as well, because as a parent, those are things that I think about. Like as when I gave birth to my first daughter, those are things that I was weighing in, like if I was not going to be there, if my husband is not going to be there, how are they going to be looked after? Are they going to be able to maintain the same standard of life? Like they depend on us 100% and we've got bills that we need to pay. So it's definitely important to have these things in place.
Exactly. Mm. And it's essentially saying that regardless of what happens to me in my circumstances, regardless of what happens to my health, my life, my income, I'm good. My family's good.
Yeah.
Because we've made the investment and had the foresight to say, let's secure ourselves. Let's put something in place.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, go on. Having the investments.
Yeah, I was going to say having investments is fantastic. Mm. Go for it. But are you protecting those investments?
Exactly, yeah, which is very important. Because when you look at investments, investments are more of a long-term thing. So you're looking at something that you're looking to liquidate after maybe like 5 to 10 years. Whereas during the first 5 years, something may happen. And if you liquidate those investments before the due time or before you're ready, you may actually end up losing more money than you would have gained. So it's definitely important to consider these products.
100%. And which then nicely moves into the last product, which is called Family Income Cover.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what Family Income Cover is, and I'm just going to use myself for this example because I don't pray this for you, I don't wish this for you. So in my circumstance, like as I said, you know, there was three of us and the youngest child at the time was 14. So if we had a family income cover, what would have happened was, rather than us struggling financially, which I mentioned, is my mum would have been entitled to a monthly income until the youngest child was 25. So that monthly income would have basically helped significantly to help continue to parent, you know, my sister until she was of no longer dependent on my family income.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because obviously once you lose a parent, that income also goes.
Yes, it does. Yeah.
So what you're doing is essentially replacing that income and you're continuing essentially to parent financially.
Mm.
And so that those burdens are no longer there.
Yeah. So like you mentioned, like these products have different purposes, which is why they're different products. So what would you say is the main difference between the family income benefit and like the life insurance?
Well, the life insurance, like I said, it is a lump sum amount of money that you get to cover your debts, liabilities and assets. And then with a family income benefit, it's a monthly income that you get to protect you and to continue to look after you in terms of like just provision, clothes, food, whatever it is that children need.
Yeah.
You know, so it serves different purposes.
I understand that. Yeah, because that's definitely important to know that the different purposes that are there for them and what they actually serve. So in your experience, what would you say is with all these, like, I know the amounts that are taken out tend to depend on the people taking them out and their lifestyles, and it's a lot of factors come into play. But what I just want to do is I just want to get like a rough idea of how much you can expect to pay if, say, for instance, you take out the life insurance, just like an approximate amount, obviously bearing in mind that this changes depending on someone's lifestyle and how much they take out and when they're expecting the cover to last for.
Okay. So what I would say, because obviously, as you said, it's difficult to, you know, provide an accurate figure. But what I would say is it should be about 10 to 15% of your annual income.
Okay.
That's what I will say.
Yeah.
Which is, but it will definitely be cheaper the younger you are.
No, I get what you mean. Yeah. So it's just so that people have a rough idea of how much it is. But it's definitely something worth looking into, because it's better to plan for the future while you're in a good place than to plan for a bad situation while you're actually in the situation.
And what I will say to add to that as well is, whilst you are deciding to plan for your financial futures, it's always good to seek financial advice. Because if you are going online or if you are going through a bank, for example, you know, you're not going to get the exact cover that will suit your circumstances and your needs. Because, for example, if you do go online, you know, the quotes that you would get are generic.
Yeah.
They don't take into consideration, you know, your whole lifestyle, how much mileage you do. If you do any heavy lifting at work, it doesn't take into consideration whether, if you're a smoker, how much alcohol you drink, family history, your medical history, you know, your BMI or things like that. It doesn't take into consideration those things. So if you're with an advisor, not only, you know, are you holding that person accountable and you're having a relationship with that person, you're also, you know, getting that human contact, so you know, you actually know who you're talking to.
Exactly, yeah, which is a good thing, I think, because if you're discussing things as important as what's going to happen when you're no longer here, or what's going to happen in case of like a critical illness, I think it's important to have like a two-way conversation. So what would, if someone was to go and look for an advisor or for a company that sells insurance, what do people generally need to look for?
Yeah, they need to check that the advisor is regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. That is number one.
Yeah.
And it also, just like with everything, you just do your personal due diligence.
Yeah.
You find out, you know, about their company, what they do, what they're offering, how their services can be of benefit. You know, ask questions.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and if your advisor is not answering your questions, then maybe find another one.
Yours. Yeah.
So it's a personal thing, you know, and I always make sure that I'm offering the best service to my clients.
Yeah.
To make sure that, you know, they understand what's happening. They understand what they're getting, because it's a waste of time. There's no point getting something or signing yourself up to something if you don't know what you're doing.
That's true. It's
a waste of time.
Yeah. So you mentioned like the FCA, the Financial Conduct Authority. What's the importance of that? Like, why is it important to get an insurance provider or an insurance broker who's regulated by the FCA?
Yeah, because basically they are the regulators of the whole financial industry, and they are the people who basically protect the consumers, they protect the industry, keep it stable, and they basically are the people that you could even complain to. I mean, hopefully you don't need to complain to anybody, but all our activities all our controlled functions are done under the FCA.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's really good to know, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if basically you go to a provider and they're not listed on the FCA register, then run away.
Basically, because that person is not authorized to be, you know, there are certain regulatory requirements that we have to fulfill.
Yeah.
And one of them is, once we go through the consultation stages, I have to basically explain or define why I'm recommending the products that I am. Right. And that holds me accountable.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. It's saying that I've understood the customer's needs.
Mm.
And as a result, this is what I've recommended.
Mm.
Yeah.
Which, when you say that, that actually, I'm going to be honest, it gives me a sense of comfort.
Exactly.
Because, like, you're not just throwing something at me, but you're making sure that I understand it, and then you're giving the reasoning behind why you're selling or why you're recommending that product. So you mentioned, like, with the consultation, do you hold consultations? And if so, how much do they cost?
I definitely do hold consultations, and they are completely free.
Oh, that's excellent.
They cost absolutely nothing.
That's excellent. So you can get information, tailor-made information, essentially for free.
Basically. And I think that's the best thing, because even if you wanted to understand insurance a little bit more, I'm happy to speak to you.
Mm-hmm.
If you have insurance already and you're not sure what you've got in place,
mm-hmm.
or you wanted your policy to be reviewed because you got it through a bank,
mm-hmm.
I'm happy to do that, especially if you got it through a bank. I'm happy to, you know, speak to family members as well. You know, something I do is I hold family Zoom sessions to basically have the conversation with the whole family, because I know sometimes it's really hard to talk to your family members about these difficult conversations.
It is, definitely.
But if someone is in the industry and they know what they're talking about and they're regulated, you know, it's a lot easier, and it puts, you know, the families at rest.
Mm.
You know, let's not only protect ourselves and inject wealth into our household, but let's inject wealth and, you know, maintain a legacy with our whole family. You know, how amazing would that be if our whole family were getting a lump sum amount of money and wealth was being created just by having the conversation?
Yeah, definitely. So in terms of, like, getting in touch with you, how can people get in touch with you to book these consultations?
Yep. So firstly, I am on Instagram at sheinsures_. That's the easiest way to get through to me. You can send me a DM. You can call me. My email's also on my page as well. So yeah, that's the most easiest way. And I think you would be leaving my details with them as well.
Yes. Yeah. So I'm going to include your details in the podcast notes. So your contact details and the links to your Instagram page.
I know I spoke about trust earlier.
Mm.
Just to give you a brief overview, what a trust is,
is
basically a form that you fill out to complete to say that, you know, my life insurance would be dedicated to my children or my husband, and they will be the beneficiaries of your policy.
Thank you so much for joining us for this podcast today, Amida, and for giving us this valuable information. Hopefully it will encourage someone to start having this conversation. So I'll link your information in the podcast notes. And again, if you want to book a free consultation, then please click on the links that have been provided in the podcast notes. And thank you so much, Amida.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. Much appreciated. And stay in touch. I look forward to hearing from you podcast listeners, or whatever it is you call yourselves.
Thank you. And take care.
Take care.